After the deaths of Turin and Nienor, Morgoth released Húrin from bondage in furtherance of his evil purpose. In the course of his wanderings, he reached the forest of Brethil and came up in the evening from the crossings of Teiglin to the place of the burning of Glaurung and the great stone standing on the brink of Cabed Nairamath. Of what befell there, this is told. But Húrin did not look at the stone, for he knew what was written there, and his eyes had seen that he was not alone. Sitting in the shadow of the stone, there was a figure bent over its knees. Some homeless wanderer, broken with age, it seemed, too wayworn to heed his coming. But its rags were the remnants of a woman's garb. At length, as Húrin stood there, silent, she cast back her tattered hood and lifted up her face slowly, haggard and hungry as a long-hunted wolf. Grey she was, sharp-nosed, with broken teeth, and with a lean hand she clawed at the cloak upon her breast. But suddenly her eyes looked into his, and then Húrin knew her, although they were wild now and full of fear. A light still gleamed in them, hard to endure. The elven light that long ago had earned her her name, Elethwen, proudest of mortal women in the days of old.
Elethwen! Elethwen!
Húrin cried, and she rose and stumbled forward, and he caught her in his arms.
You come at last, she said. I have waited too long. It was a dark road. I have come as I could, he answered. But you are late, she said. Too late. They are lost. I know, he said, but you are not. Almost, she said. I am spent utterly. I shall go with the sun. They are lost.
She clutched at his cloak.
Little time is left, she said. If you know, tell me. How did she find him?
But Húrin did not answer, and he sat beside the stone with Morwen in his arms, and they did not speak again. The sun went down, and Morwen sighed and clasped his hand and was still. And Húrin knew that she had died.